भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 22. Saha eva bhuya. Screen went small, excuse me. Screen disappeared. Let's try again. No reason to use apps. There we go. Well, this is appears to be not working right now, so I may have to use the book in spite of that. Yeah, I have to close it. You have the book, please? Okay. Yeah, it's not working. Worked before I came. Let's see if I can read this. Oh, okay. Sa eva bhu yo nija virya chanditam fajiva mayam prakritim sisrikshitantim. Anama rupatmani rupanamani viditsamano usasara shastrakrit. Sa eva bhuyo nija virya choditam svajiva mayam prakritim sisrikshitim. Anama rupatmani rupanamani vititsamano usasara shastrakrit. Sa eva bhuyo nija virya choditam svajiva mayam prakritim sisrikshitim. Anama rupatmani rupanamani vititsamano usasara shastrakrit. Please chant. Ladies, please. Saha, he, eva, thus, bhuyaha, again, nija, own personal, virya, potency, shoditam, performance of, sva, own, jiva, living being, mayam, external energy, prakritim, until material nature. Shishrik shatim, while recreating anama without mundane designation. Rupa atmani, forms of the soul. Rupa, forms of the soul. Yeah, Rupa, Rupa namani, forms and names. Vititsamana, desiring to award. Anusara, entrusted, Shastrakrit, the compiler of revealed scripture. Translation. The personality of Godhead, again desiring to give names and forms to his parts and parcels, the living entities, place them under the guidance of material nature. By his own potency, material nature is empowered to recreate. Please repeat. The personality of Godhead, again desiring to give names and forms to his parts and parcels, the living entities place them under the guidance of material nature. By his own potency, material nature is empowered to recreate. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Somebody take this off. Yeah, no, just this. I'm going to use my hand on it. Yeah, thank you. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord. They are of two varieties, namely the Nitya Mukta and Nitya Bhata.
The Nitya Muktas are eternally liberated souls, and they are eternally engaged in the reciprocation of transcendental loving service with the Lord in His eternal abode, beyond the manifested mundane creations. But the Nitya Bhata, or eternally conditioned souls, are entrusted to His external energy, Maya, for rectification of their rebellious attitude toward the Supreme Father. For rectification of their rebellious attitude toward the Supreme Father. Nitya Bhatas are eternally forgetful of their relation with the Lord as the parts and parcels. They are bewildered by the illusory energy as products of matter. And thus they are very busy in making plans in the material world for becoming happy. They go on merrily with plans, but by the will of the Lord, both the plan makers and the plans are annihilated at the end of a certain period, as above mentioned. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita as follows, quote, O son of Kunti, when the period of a kalpa, the duration of the life of Brahma, is ended, all the living entities merge into my nature. And again, when the time of creation is ripe, I begin creation by the agency of my external energy. Unquote. That's from the 9th chapter, 7th verse. The word, The word Buya indicates again and again, that is to say, the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation is going on perpetually by the external energy of the Lord. He is the cause of everything, but the living beings who are constitutionally the parts and parcels of the Lord and are forgetful of the sweet relation are given a chance again to get rid of the clutches of the external energy and to revive his, the living being's, consciousness. The revealed scriptures are also created by the Lord. Vedic literature are the guiding directions for the conditioned souls so they can get free from the repetition of creation and annihilation of the material world and the material body. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, quote, This created world and material energy are under my control. Under the influence of Prakriti, automatically they are created again and again, and this is done by me through the agency of my external energy. Unquote. Actually, the spiritual spark living entity have no material names or forms, but in order to fulfill their desire to lord it over the material energy of material forms and names, they are given a chance for such false enjoyment. And at the same time, they are given a chance to understand the real position through the revealed scriptures. The foolish, forgetful living being is always busy with false forms and false names. Modern nationalism is the culmination of such false forms and false names and false forms. Men are mad after the false name and form. The form of body obtained under certain conditions is taken up as factual. And the name also taken taken bewilders the conditioned soul into misusing the energy in the name of so many isms. The scriptures, however, supply the clue of understanding the real position, but men are reluctant to take lessons from the scriptures created by the Lord for different places and times. For example, the Bhagavad Gita is the guiding principle for every human being, but by the spell of material energy, they do not take care to carry out the programs of life in terms of the Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam is the postgraduate study of knowledge for one who has thoroughly understood the principles of the Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, they have no taste for them, and therefore they are under the clutches of Maya for repetition of birth and death. Omagina timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So the setting here is that the Lord is on his starting out from Hastinapur back to his hometown, so to speak, Dwarka. And the ladies of the community of Hastinapur, wanting to get a really good look at him, they got up on the roofs and they gazed down upon him. And as they saw him, they began to think about the philosophy that they had learned, not necessarily directly from him, but from so many saints and sages who are in Hastinapur. And they began to talk about how great, how glorious, how awesome Krishna is in the way... in the way he creates the world, maintains it, and ultimately destroys it. And they're very awed, they're very amazed, they're very charmed. They look up to him as the greatest of the greatest. And so this conversation, which is going on now, is actually taking place between the ladies who are up on the roof, looking down at Krishna in his chariot, and talking about his greatness and his glories. And some of the things which are being indicated here in Srila Prabhupada's wonderful purport is that originally we were all Krishna-conscious living entities, and that due to a desire to want to taste what it's like to be a lord. In other words, we're in Vaikuntha, and Lord Vishnu is there, and he is the Lord. And being the Lord, he is the controller, he is the guide, and he is there to give assistance and give help to the living entities and to provide them with an opportunity to serve him. Because basically in the spiritual world, the only business there is to perform service, ultimately for the Supreme Lord. And serving the Supreme Lord is our natural or constitutional position, jiveda swarupa hoy krishnera nitya das. It is the constitutional position of the living entities to perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord, and by so doing, and doing it with love, doing it with sincerity, doing it with purity, the Lord receiving, Krishna receiving that service, feels greatly gratified. Krishna is always joyful, always blissful, always happy, but he is also, if you will, a glutton for more happiness, more blissfulness. And he gets that happiness, he gets the blissfulness from the pure loving service of his devotees, who do this in a selfless fashion, not demanding, not caring, not thinking of anything in terms of how good their service is or how bad their service is. Their only interest is just to do it as well as they can to please the Supreme Lord as best as they can. And that's basically it. If they're praised, they always consider that that praise really belongs to the Supreme Lord, because the source of all their ability, the source of their love, the source of their intensity and their enthusiasm comes from the Supreme Lord. So originally, we were all doing that. But at some point in time, we decided that we no longer, as it's mentioned here, wanted to serve Krishna. Serving Krishna became a bit of a burden. Due to the curiosity and envy that began to be stored up in our being, curiosity as to what does it feel like to be the Lord? What does it feel like to be honored? What does it feel like to be glorified? What does it feel like to always be applauded? Since the devotees are basically, they're serving. They're not receiving what Krishna or what Lord Vishnu is receiving. And so that becomes a curiosity. Just as Lord Chaitanya also had a curiosity. Lord Krishna had a curiosity. You know, what does it feel like to love me? What does it feel like when a person loves me? What does that bliss feel like? And when a person sees me and absorbs themselves in me, what does my sweetness taste like? So these were questions that Krishna himself had. This is his curiosity. And in order to answer that, he, of course, came down to this world as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing the part of a devotee and feeling the sensations or feelings of Srimati Radharani, who is the foremost of lovers of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So just as the Lord can be curious, the living entity can also be curious. But when he allows the curiosity, in this case, to no longer serve him, but to be served as a Lord, when he allows that to take over, to control him, to bewilder him, then what happens is that a troublesome situation begins to develop. So if the living entity no longer wants to serve the Supreme Lord, then the Lord does not force them to love him. He wants that love to come in a natural, free-flowing, voluntary way, because that is the only way that pure love can manifest in the eternal world. There's no place for conditional love or a demanding love or indifferent love in the spiritual world. Love there is completely pure. it's completely pure, and it continues on and on. So when a living entity such as ourselves, we the soul, become so curious that we want to taste lordship, we want to feel lordship, we want to experience lordship, and we no longer want to serve Krishna. We can't, if we want to be a lord, we can't stay in the superior, in the Vaikuntha or Goloka. If we want to be the Lord, then we have to be placed in another place where we can get the opportunity to work and endeavor to try to become a powerhouse or a great person, perhaps be very beautiful or become very wealthy or very strong, powerful, influential, or very famous, or very materially knowledgeable. If we want that, and we want people to admire us, we want to be idolized, we want to be looked up to, we want to be venerated, we want to be glorified, well then, this is the world that has been created for that purpose. And Krishna does not force us, as I said, to love him, but he allows us he allows us to try to achieve these particular goals that they may have, the ones that I just mentioned. Ultimately, persons in this world, striving to be either very beautiful or very wealthy or very powerful. So we'll always be in competition with others who are striving to do the same. And that competition will create, will create friction. And the friction will often lead to anger, and it will lead to enmity. And the result of that is that persons, as a result of that enmity, as a result of the anger, as a result of hatred, as a result of the fighting, the result will be is that people will be miserable, they'll feel opposed to one another, they line up against one another, they look for allies to help them to smear or debunk or harm or hurt someone who is their competitor. And so that's exactly what happens in the material world. So when there is enough misery, generally people don't give up so easily. If they lose one battle, they often will continue to fight in order to gain the pleasure that they want or gain the power that they want. Because once one has a taste of power, a taste of that material happiness, one wants to continue it. And if one has lost that power or ceded it due to his own weakness or his own inability to someone else, he wants to try and get it back. And so that is very much the course of human beings, either trying to take back what they lost or trying to get what they have not gotten. In fact, as it's mentioned here, when this creation is destroyed, after there's two particular demolitions, is one where Lord Brahma, he goes to sleep for 4 billion, I think it's 320 million years. And then he wakes up, and then he lives for, this is one day of Brahma, by the way, 4,320,000,000 years. And in that, if I'm off a few years, you can correct me at the end of the class. So when he's gone through that particular time, all the living entities, when there is a demolition, they all enter into Mahavishnu. And entering there, they enter into a sleep period for that long period when Brahma sleeps, which is just mentioned, 4,320,000,000 years. So when Brahma wakes up to another day, all the living entities, they are also wakened up, and they are, in effect, not only wakened up physically, but they're also wakened up mentally. As Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So basically, from within, as Supersoul, the Lord wakes up the living entities to the material desires that they once had when they were in the material world long, long ago. And then waking up, one has a tendency, a feeling, a direction that he wants to go with, because he has not fulfilled his desires. He hasn't fulfilled his goals, and he still wants to do that. So some people may have wanted to be a top or chief politician. Another person wanted to be a star athlete, basketball player, football player. Another person may have wanted to be a star actor or actress, and thinking that if they achieve these, if they have these, if they possess them, that they will somehow be better off. They'll be higher, they'll be greater, they'll be grander, because so many people will be looking up to them, applauding them, you know, when they do a performance or when they give a speech. And people will be looking up to them, and they will feel that they're so wanted, they're so in demand, they're so in such a prestigious position. But in actuality, though, these positions, as Srila Prabhupada mentions very clearly, are very temporary. And when one begins to lose that position, it becomes very sorrowful or very sad to the person who was up there and is now going down there. Down. He's losing his high position, and he has to, in envy, look at someone going to the position that he once was in. And seeing that, that can cause a person to become very depressed, or get a person to become very angry, very upset, very shaken. And that results in a tremendous amount of misery. And how do living entities deal with their miseries? They have to deal with them in some way, because it can't go on. Some just take the easy road. In fact, many young people today, and when young, I don't mean 5 or 6 years old, but I mean teenagers and youths and 20-somethings, they're committing suicide. And the chief means of committing suicide nowadays seems to be through the various drugs that are available, even legal drugs, such as OxyContin or any of those type of sedative type of drugs, which can destroy you. So many people overdosing on drugs or alcohol, and so many other forms that a person may choose so that he can forget his misery, forget that he's now Mr. Nobody. He's Mr. Nothing, or Mr. Good for Nothing. In this world, it's very important for persons to achieve something. In fact, generally speaking, if a person achieves something very big, a high position, or a big award, or some glorification from some noteworthy person, he's honored, or he's celebrated, he's glorified in his family, amongst his friends, among his associates, business, and that. But that only lasts for a short amount of time. What happens is that it disappears, and somebody else comes to take the place. And so in that period of depression, the period of dejection, disgust, one can hardly live with himself. Because, as I mentioned, from the very early age, we're taught that we should strive for a high position. And when we have that high position, that will be the acme of happiness. And this is complete false information. Being in a high material position is no guarantee that one will be at all happy. The only persons who are in the material world who can be happy are the persons who are pure devotees, because they don't allow any of the trappings or the glorifications, or the celebrations, or the praises, the honors. They don't allow those things to affect them, knowing that they are temporary. And knowing that they are temporary, they have something better to fall back on. And that something better, of course, is the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And as is mentioned in the purport, the scriptures are written so that it would give us a doorway out of this overwhelming misery. Some people are just... as it's mentioned, even if you give them a Bhagavad Gita and they read a few words of it, they just put it down because they've reached a state of complete frustration, complete disgust. They feel that there may not even be any hope outside of taking alcohol and drugs. And then, of course, there are people who still have some hope, and therefore they get a book from one of our book distributors, or somebody leaves it on the train or on a seat, and therefore they get a book and they read the book, and although they don't understand it all, they nonetheless are able to feel or realize or sense that this is a book which leads to something higher, something better, something greater, which will answer their question which they have of how can I get out of this miserable well. I'm trapped in it. So if one begins the path of bhakti yoga, he begins to have some preliminary acceptance of this philosophy. I say preliminary only in the sense that he will give it at least a listening, he will give it a hearing. And he will then try some of the techniques, such as the chanting of Hare Krishna. Then after that comes the association with devotees. As one associates with devotees, then he gets to understand a little bit more, because devotees can explain different questions that come up. Then if he gets deep enough into the process, into the practices, then the next thing is that he will take initiation. And then after initiation, slowly but surely, bad habits begin to fall away. Because as we chant Hare Krishna, as we engage in the various types of devotional love and devotional service, as we read these books, we become purified. And in the course of purification, those things which were once appealing to us now become very repellent to us. We don't want them, we don't like them, we don't care for them, we don't want anything to do with them. Whereas previously, due to the preponderance of certain modes of ignorance, we liked them, we enjoyed them, we wanted to have more of them. So that is the gradual process. So after one's bad habits begin to fall away, one becomes steady in his devotional service. He comes to the programs regularly, he associates regularly, he reads these books regularly, he takes Krishna prasadam regularly. So all of these things have a purifying, uplifting, salutary, beneficial effect. And after a person becomes very steady in his course, the next is that he begins to develop a higher and higher taste for Krishna conscious activities. He enjoys chanting the Hare Krishna mantra more and more. He begins to feel little bubbles of transcendental bliss. He wants to share that with others. And so in so doing, he goes and he explains that this is really wonderful. This is amazing. It's almost unbelievable because I was one way going back a year or two ago, and I don't feel that I'm that person anymore because my whole outlook is completely different. Not only that, but my level of happiness is growing greater and greater all the time. So, therefore, these are the different stages that one goes through. Gradually he begins to develop, slowly but surely, love of God in a small degree. And then it comes up into a higher degree where one begins to experience, such as in the bhava stage, deeper and more intense levels of ecstasy. And once one is in ecstasy, different symptoms manifest through his mind, through his body. And this ecstasy comes as a result of his loving relationship that he is developing with the Supreme Lord. So that loving relationship is such that as the devotee more and more gives of himself and gives his offerings to the Lord in a pure, sincere, deep, and way, the Lord or Krishna reciprocates in the soul of the devotee. Since the soul and the super soul are close to one another, right beside one another, it is not there's no difficulty. The Lord expresses his reciprocative love to the devotee, and the devotee feels that love in the form of transcendental bliss. When he feels that transcendental bliss in his heart, it goes from the heart area or the soul into the intelligence, into the mind, and into the senses and the whole body. And the whole body then may experience different levels, different degrees of this ecstasy. Sometimes a person may become stunned. He may perspire profusely. The hairs on the arm like become, they horripilate, they call it going up, standing up. One's complexion may become blanched. A person may feel he begins to tremble, he begins to cry. These are all different symptoms of the ecstasy. And that ecstasy, of course, as a person grows more and more in transcendental happiness, in transcendental love with the Supreme Lord, and all he wants to do is serve. And when that happens, the old person who is miserable is no more longer miserable, but has now become very blissful. And as a result, when the person leaves his body, he may go directly to the spiritual world, or he may be prepared for that spiritual world and go to another universe where he gets trained up to become even a better devotee than what he is today. So that is basically the course that we all have gone through. We are all very fortunate. It is an amazingly gracious of the Lord to allow us to have a person like Srila Prabhupada guide us through his books and through some of his devotees so that we can become free of this entangled mess which leads only to ever-increasing misery, as it's called the baddha or bound position, and transcend that and go to the from the bound pin to go to the free position. Free again to make the choice, but now no longer to make bad choices, such as to imitate the Lord, to try to become a controller, to become a dictator, or anything of that sort. One becomes very happy in his position as a loving servant of the Lord and is eager to always share that when and if he has that possibility, so that others who are suffering as he or she once was can be now freed from that horrible, terrible situation and go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or comments or none? No questions? Everybody agrees? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you.